you to get your Bibles this morning. If you will, open to the book of Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. And we'll draw your attention down to verse 27. Matthew 9, 27. If you need a Bible, there's one on the side table. I encourage you to get one to study with us. Verse 27 states, "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed Him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when He was come into the house, the blind men came to Him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto Him, Yea, Lord. Then touched He their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad His fame in all that country." May we again pray. Our Father in heaven, as we again approach Thy throne of grace, we just thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You for helping us to understand Your Word. We thank You for Your Spirit who guides and leads us and shows us the truth of Your Word. And Lord, I pray as Your Spirit moves mightily among us this morning, Lord, I pray if there's one in our midst who's never trusted in Your Son Jesus as Savior, that today is the day of salvation. Lord, as Your Spirit moves us, may we be very attentive and obedient to Your leadership and calling. Lord, I pray that You'll guide and direct my words this morning. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. If I were to ask you this morning to define the word faith, what might be your response? Would you define it using words like trust, persuasion, assurance, belief? Would you state that faith is a noun or a verb in the sense of a noun or a verb, and you know what those two words mean in the English language? The reason we need to explore what faith means to us, I believe, characterizes not only how we look at Christ unto salvation, but also how we look at Christ because of salvation. And let me explain. You know, when you read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So in this passage, it clearly states that if we are to receive salvation, we must do so by placing our God-given belief and faith and trust in Jesus Christ to save us. But this goes beyond just stating, "I believe in Jesus." And there's a lot of people that believe they're saved because they say, "I believe in Jesus." But they've never trusted in Jesus to save them. But if all we do is to trust in Jesus to save us and nothing more, then in reality, we have relegated or reduced the word faith to not much more than just being a noun. Meaning, a word with no action. And our faith in the Lord will become very stagnant. It will become very dormant. If, on the other hand, we are to view the word faith as a verb, an action word, we will consider and truly seek to live as the Scriptures teach us. Let me give you some examples. So I read in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, I quoted that. But when you read verse 10 of Ephesians 2, it says this, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So it means that we have to invest ourselves, allowing Him to do a great mighty work within us, so that we can then be prepared to do the good works that He wants us to do. And by the way, they're not our works, they're His works. They're His good works. When you read in James chapter 2, starting in verse 14, it says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man may say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding, give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? In other words, we've got to put action to our faith. Philippians chapter 2, starting verse 12, it says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. In other words, we've got, through our faith, we've got to allow the Lord to work out of us so that we can do His good works. Again, this morning I've titled the message, According to Your Faith. Now, God works in us and through us according to our faith. According to our faith. He works to the extent or end of our faith. And again, in our opening text, and we're going to touch on this a little bit more later in the message, we read about two men that were blind, that were healed. And notice what it said again in verse 29. It said, first of all, in 28, it says, believe ye that I am able to do this, to heal them. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. This morning I want to give some biblical examples, and we're going to do quite a bit of reading this morning from Scripture, but we're going to look at some biblical examples of people who I believe had great faith, who actually used their faith in action. Not just as a byword or as a noun, if you will, but actually showed their faith in action. If you will, turn over to Numbers chapter 13. And we're going to come back in here in a moment to Matthew chapter 9. But right now, I want to turn to Numbers chapter 13. And we know in this account, as you're turning there, we know in this account that the Lord told Moses to send out 12 spies, one person, one man from every tribe, that were going to the land of Canaan, and they were to spy out the land, and then come back and give a report of what they've seen. And it says in Numbers chapter 13, verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel, of every tribe of their fathers, shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among you. Drive down to verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be of good courage, and bring the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. Verse 25 of Numbers 13. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Verse 30 of this chapter. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. Now we know that Caleb and Joshua were two of the spies that went in. But he went on to say, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched and of the children of Israel, saying, the land to which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Now we see that these 12 men went, they came back, and they had a report. 10 of them said, yes, it's a great land that floweth with milk and honey. We would love to go there. But, there are the sons of Anak there. There are walled cities. There are places that we cannot go. And when you go to turn over to chapter 14 in Numbers. So Caleb was one that responded and says, you know what? The Lord can give us this land. He has promised this land to us. In chapter 14, verse 6, it says, and Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all, the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. So what we find here is that the faith that of these ten was very waning. The faith of these ten was not rested upon the Lord. And as a result, God said to Moses, He said, you know, I'm tired. I'm already tired of these people. I brought them out of the land of Egypt, took them across the Red Sea. I've shown them my power. I've shown them through leadership, from leading them. I've shown them everything that I am here going to be with them. I promised their father, Abraham, this land. I'm showing them the land. These 12 men have gone in. They have to give us, a report. And they're supposed to give us this. They've given us this report. We can take it. They said, the 10, no, we can't. Their faith had waned. Their faith was not strong in the Lord. If the Lord had said, according to your faith, what would they receive? Well, we know the story. As you continue reading on in chapter 14, Moses asked for a pardon to them, but the Lord says, because they have had no faith in me. They've had no faith that they can go forward. I'm going to bring a plague against them. And in fact, verse 36 says, in chapter 14, and the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him, by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. And we know that as a result of their lack of faith, they ended up, for every day that they were in Canaan, they served 1 year in the wilderness. For every day, 40 days they were spying out the land, 40 years they walked the wilderness because of their unbelief. In fact, the Lord told them, because you have no faith, you have no faith in me, because of that, is that not anyone that is over 20 years of age is going to actually be able to go into the land of Canaan. Now, that was true for everyone except for Joshua and Caleb. These two men, because of their faith. In fact, it said, if you were to go to chapter 26 of Numbers, verse 65 says, for the Lord had said of them, they shall surely die in the wilderness. And there was not left a man of them save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. Everyone 20 and above died in the wilderness according to their faith. According to their faith. The Lord rewarded Joshua and Caleb, but everyone else 20 and above, they were rewarded according to their faith. And this ought to tell us that oftentimes we look at a situation, and yes, we may look at a situation and say, you know, I'm nothing more than a grasshopper in front of, or in sight of, the people in front of me. But you know, with the Lord can bring us to overcome, as Joshua and Caleb both said, if the Lord pleases for us to have this land, we will overcome it. They will be nothing more than bread unto us. We will take hold of this land. But again, according to your faith, let it be done. Well, according to their faith, for those of 20 and up, over, they died in the wilderness. Change to another individual. How about Solomon? Solomon. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 3. In 1 Kings chapter 3, we find that Solomon, the Lord told him he could ask for anything he wanted. And in fact, in verse 5 of 1 Kings chapter 3, it says this, "In Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee." Now how in the world would you respond to that? "Ask me anything you want, I'll give it unto thee." Verse 9 of that text says, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?" Now think about what he said there. Give this servant, your servant, Lord, an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and bad, so that I may do what? Judge rightly your people. Well, verse 10 of 1 Kings 3 says, "And the speech pleased the Lord. But Solomon asked this thing, and God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee." So we find here, Solomon could have asked for anything. Anything he could have asked. That's what God says. Ask me for anything. Now think about this also. He could have asked for anything this world had never heard of before. Actually anything. Ask me for anything. In his faith, he asked for understanding. In his faith of the Lord, he asked for wisdom. And think about this also. Because he asked for wisdom, he actually got everything. He actually got everything. When you look at his life and you study about Solomon, he asked for wisdom. And you think and understand this. According to his faith in the Lord, he didn't ask for personal riches or personal gain. He asked for one thing that he might be able to do, have an understanding heart, so that he might rightly judge the people of God. And you know that that's something that because of our faith, when we, if we are according to our faith, if we ask the Lord for this type of wisdom, I will tell you, it will come with great rewards. I didn't say it's going to come with great rewards monetarily or worldly, but it will come with great rewards. You know, parents need a lot of understanding. Parents need a lot of wisdom. Every child a parent has, they're different. All three of our children, they were all different. When you discipline them, as an example, discipline was always meted out differently. One child you might have to beat with a board. The other child, is that all you had to do was give them a look. And you see is that that's just the way they responded. But you need that kind of wisdom. You need that kind of understanding when you're raising up children. A church needs this type of wisdom in order to conduct itself and to go forward, the type of understanding. And especially when it comes to someone that's hurting, how to deal with them, how to have the wisdom to give the right words. Now we know that the Lord has the right words. But you know what? We need the right words as well. We need the right understanding to help those, even in our own congregation, or those outside, if you will. He asked for wisdom and actually got everything. In fact, James tells us in chapter 1, starting verse 5, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith." Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. "For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Again, according to your faith. What do you ask for? What kind of faith do you ask for? What kind of wisdom? And not only when you receive the wisdom, when you receive the understanding, do you actually use it in faith? Because how many times we read God's Word and we quickly draw a conclusion, that'll never work. Now we may not verbalize that, but you know our inaction, that's exactly what we said. That will never work. According to our faith, that'll never work. But I'll tell you, and that was the same thing when we spoke about just for a moment, those 10 spies that went in. That'll never work that we can go and overthrow this. Because we've seen with our eyes how big they are. What they failed to see, how big God is. And that God was with them. God was walking with them. And again, we limit sometimes Our dealings with the Lord is because of the fact our sight is only on the obstacle in front of us instead of looking to God who can destroy the obstacle that stands in our way. Turn, if you will, to 2 Kings chapter 4. Now, some of you are going to look at several examples, but the best way we can do that is by looking at Scripture. 2 Kings chapter 4. And I want to start in verse 1. 2 Kings 4 and 1, we'll be looking at a widow who didn't have anything in her house except for a little bit of oil. And she was basically flat broke. 2 Kings 4 and 1 says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha," who happened to be the prophet, "saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha sent unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said," and I want you to notice simple thing he said, "Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few." Alright, so we know what the statement is. Go to all your neighbors, borrow empty vessels, borrow not a few. Verse 4, "When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went from him and shut the door upon her. Remember what she had. She only had a small pot of oil. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said unto her, "There is not a vessel more," and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." Now, did she go to her neighbors and ask for a few vessels? The command was to go and ask. Now, some would look at this and say, well, you know, what would be the effort? Why do I need to go and ask? They're not going to give me anything. They're not going to give me any vessels. They'll know that I, because they know that I'm poor. They know that the situation with my husband, he's died. I'm a widow at this time. Creditors knocking on my door. And she's coming to the door. She's not asking for anything but empty vessels. Empty vessels. But you know, she kept asking. Empty vessels. How many doors would we go knock on? How many neighbors would we go knock on if the Lord told us, go ask for empty vessels? Now this woman has no clue about what's about to happen. She's just told to do this. Simply, go ask of your neighbors for empty vessels and bring them into your house. I believe based on this story, that we have recorded here that she went and sought out everyone that had a vessel she could borrow. She might have even said, you know what? Can you empty that vessel out to give me an empty one so I can use it? Empty whatever you got into it. I need to get as many as I can. Because her faith was being tested here. Her faith in the Lord and what the man of God was saying. And because of her faith, and she listened to what the man of God instructed her. Again, I believe that she moved everything aside. Now, I've got to believe that what she did was she went in the house and said, you know what? We've got to make room for these vessels. Not that she just go ask for vessels, but she went and moved everything out of the house that she could and moved it around so she could bring all these vessels inside. And the man of God said to pour from that little pot of oil that you have, and I'm sure that that little pot of oil was just enough for her to finish up making her some of her last meals in the house. It says this woman started pouring, and notice what happened here. The Lord used what she had as opposed to what she didn't have to meet all of her needs according to her faith. What did she have? A little pot of oil. Sometimes we look, we forget about what we do have. And we start wishing for all that we don't have. And we start blaming God because of all we don't have is because we haven't been faithful and thankful in what God has given us that we forget to look at what we do have. You ever been to a point when you open up the cupboard and all you have is a can of beans? And that's all you got in there. I wish I had something else. Well, if I had a pot of beans, I wish I had some cornbread maybe to go with it. But you know, if that's all you've had, thank God that's what I got. Because I know for this meal, it will sustain me. And you know what? Tomorrow's meal will take care of itself. She started pouring out. And then we see that the oil filled every vessel. She sold the oil, paid her creditors, had enough money to furnish her home and to live on. Again, according to your faith. According to your faith. How strong is our faith in the Lord in the day-to-day activities? Whether it be something like King Solomon needed wisdom to judge, or this woman that needed something to live on. According to her, they both had the respect because of their positions, because of in life and where they were. They both had the same type of needs, but they had to have the faith of the Lord in order to sustain them. Turn, if you would, to 2 Kings chapter 13. We'll look at a man by the name of Joash. Now, Joash, we saw Elisha here in 2 Kings 4. We're going to look at a man by the name of Joash, the king. So in verse 14, 2 Kings 13 and verse 14. Now, Elisha was fallen sick of a sickness whereof he died. And Joash the king, so prior to him dying, Joash the king of Israel came down unto him and wept over his face and said, "Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And Israel said unto him, "Take bow and arrows." And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, "Put thine hand upon the bow." And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, "Open the window eastward." And he opened it. Then Elisha said, "Shoot." And he shot. And he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance." And the arrow of deliverance from Syria. Syria was going to be coming against them. "For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek, till thou have consumed them." And he said, "Take the arrows," and he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, "Smite upon the ground," and he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him, and he said, "Thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice." In other words, you're going to have multiple battles with Syria. Israel was going to battle against Syria. Joash was commanded to take the bow and the arrows, and he was to open a window to shoot. God said, "You'll be delivered." But then he was to take the arrows and beat the ground. Now again, according to our faith, what he should have done is he should have started beating the ground and continue until Elisha said, "That's enough." But he only did it 3 times. He only did it 3 times. And as a result, Elisha ended up telling him, "You're only going to win the battle for 3 times. But if you'd have done it 5 or 6, you would have consumed them. They would have been destroyed. If you'd have had enough faith to keep beating those arrows, not only would you have defeated them, every time you went against them, you would have consumed them." Do you realize that Syria is still a thorn in the flesh of Israel today? If you would just keep beating, again, according to your faith. Say, you might look at this and say, "Well, he didn't know how many times. He didn't know how many times this was, you know, he needed to beat the ground. He was told to beat the ground. I mean, he was only told to shoot 1 arrow out the window." But you know what? They had been in battle before. They had been in battle against the Amalekites. They had been in battle against the Hittites, against the Philistines, and against all these other people. And I will tell you, if your anger is such, and he knew that Elisha was dying here, he was on his deathbed. If you knew that the Syrian people and they were hated against the Israelites and hated them because of all the things that they had dealt with the Syrians. And you know, if his anger was enough, he would have kept beating the floor with those arrows. But according to his faith, though, he was only going to have 3 times that they were going to be delivered. And the Syria was going to continue to attack them. You remember when Saul, to show you just another example, remember when King Saul was told by the Lord to go out and destroy the Amalekites? Because the Amalekites had done some horrendous things unto Israel. He was told, he says, "You go and destroy them all." But remember what he ended up doing? They ended up taking the choice animals. They were told to destroy everything. They ended up taking the king and others. And Samuel had told them, destroy everything. They are a thorn in the side and God wants them destroyed. But he didn't do it. And as a result, not only do we find that through Saul's reign, the Amalekites were still there. Through David's reign, the Amalekites were still there. It's because his faith in what the Lord had to say was not enough. He thought it was more important to bring home the spoils than it was to do what the Lord had told him to do. But our faith is weak. Remember the little maiden? The Syrian king came and asked the question to Elijah, I believe it was. I may get Elijah and Elisha sometimes to get them mixed up as to the story. But the king came and he was told to go out and wash yourself. He had leprosy. Go into the river, I think it was the River Jordan. Dirty river. Go wash yourself 7 times. He says, come on, there's got to be something better I can do. Something better I can do. Wash yourself 7 times. I got to dip myself 7 times in this water. You know, sometimes we look and we say, is that why in the world would the Lord want me to go into something that's dirty in order to become clean? Why in the world would he want me to do it? But if our faith, according to our faith, if the Lord says you got to go down and dip 7 times in the dirtiest water, and the Lord tells you to do it, I would never tell you to do that. But if the Lord told you to do it, because that would cleanse you, you better jump in and dip yourself 7 times. Because we know when he came out, again, according to his faith, and finally did it, that he was healed. Sometimes, again, wisdom, knowledge, according to our faith. Remember about Nehemiah. We'll talk about Nehemiah for just a minute. We know about Nehemiah. Nehemiah was one that ended up rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And he was able to rebuild the gates. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 2 for just a minute. Nehemiah was one that, after he'd gotten a report of how that Jerusalem was dilapidated. This is after 70 years of being in Babylon and being able to go back. Many people were being able to go back, and they found that that during the siege of Nebuchadnezzar, the gates of Jerusalem were destroyed. The walls of Jerusalem were destroyed, and so they had no way of protection. They had no way of keeping themselves, from being assaulted, like from people like Sanballat and Tobiah as an example. And we find in Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 1 is that here is a time that Nehemiah comes before King Artaxerxes. And let's look at the story. And it came to pass in verse 1 in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now, he's the cupbearer. And you all know what a cupbearer is, right? Cupbearer would be one that served the king, and the cupbearer always tasted the drink before the king did. If somebody put poison in it, you're going to lose a person that's the servant before you will the king. So that's his role, Nehemiah. Every day, he was to taste it first, and then give it to the king. So the cupbearer, Nehemiah, came in before the king. And it says, now, it goes on to say, now I had not been before before time sat in his presence. In fact, that was possibly an opportunity for you to get killed if you came in a sad countenance. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. Verse 3 says, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? And notice what happened here in real time. So I prayed to the God of heaven. I've got to believe that he'd been praying before he ever got to this point. But he'd been praying. And it says he again offered up that quick prayer unto the Lord. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant hath found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me into Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be? and win without return. So it pleased the king to send me, and I set a time for, if you will, my return. Moreover, I send them the king. If it please the king, let letters be given to the governors beyond the river. Now, you know, sometimes our praying unto the Lord gives us an insight of things that we're going to need along the way. Remember that same type of wisdom that Solomon had prayed for according to his faith in the Lord and according to standing before the king. It wasn't that I just need to go back. I'm going to need supplies. I'm going to need passage because, you know, I'm going to be going back and they're going to look at me being a Jew and they may not let me go through their land. So he says, so he asked, if it please the king, let letters be given to me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest. Because why? We're going to need timber. That he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. So we see that Nehemiah prayed, but and then what did he ask? He asked for, again, the letters of safety and the timber to rebuild the wood and things of that nature that was there. Everything he wanted, everything he needed to rebuild Jerusalem, the walls, if you will, was granted unto him according to his faith. And again, that's what James 1 and 6 says. But let every man ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. There's nothing wrong with asking for things that seem beyond what you ought to ask for. But according to your faith, do you ask? You know, there's been a lot of things that I've asked for, and my faith stopped short of asking for the next piece, if you will, of the puzzle, the next piece of going forward, because I felt in my own heart, well, I've asked enough. I've asked enough. Or maybe I should wait before asking any more. We're in the process of working on getting ready to build a building. Many prayers have been offered up. Lord, not only give us the wisdom, but in faith we ask for the right people to stand in front of us. So who are the right people? Contractors, bankers, lawyers. Those are all needed. Village hall. Having to deal with the village, getting through all the codes, the money that's going to be needed, the people that's going to be needed. And you see that what the need is, we want to build that building. But how do I get from the need to where I need to see is the finished product? Our faith is that the Lord is going to provide every individual, every contractor, every dollar that's going to be needed, and they're all getting through all the codes, getting through all the official stuff with lawyers, everything we need is that God is going to provide. You see, we don't need to shortchange God. We need to have faith. He's going to provide all of that. You see, if all we ask is, Lord, can you build a building? And that's all we ask. Lord, we need to build a building, but we don't have faith that He's going to provide everything else. And I will tell you, because of, I think we've had the right prayer, and the right prayers, plural, and the right faith, and according to our faith, so far, He has provided everything we've needed. You see, the building is not up yet. But you see, the building is on paper already. The building will be built in His timing, according to our faith. You see, when we stop short of our faith, then what ends up happening is that things don't get done. We don't get to see the end results. And sometimes our faith takes some trials. It takes some tribulations. But it's all for the understanding that it grows our faith in the Lord. Now I told you that here with Nehemiah, he asked and got what he needed because of his faith in God. I want to go back to our opening text, Matthew chapter 9 again. I told you I'd get back to them. Two blind men. Matthew chapter 9. And again in verse 27 it says, when Jesus departed thence, so he had been preaching, he had been teaching, he had just raised Darius' daughter. It says, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. Now I will tell you, they had never seen Jesus face to face. They had never seen one miracle that Jesus had performed. They had never seen Him raise people from the dead. They'd never seen him do anything with regards to healing people's hands, their infirmities, their possession of devils, demons, if you will. Is that they'd never seen any of it with their physical eyes. Yet, their faith said, what? You are the Son of David. In other words, you're the Christ. Their faith. And they said, have mercy on us. Now notice also when you read this account here, is that Jesus did not respond to them. It says they, the two men, these blind men, followed him. But Jesus did not immediately respond. He heard them, but he did not respond to them. It says, and when he was coming to the house, meaning the house where he was residing, the blind men came to him. They followed him all the way home. Where he went, that's where they went. They followed him all the way home. The blind men came to him and said, and Jesus saith unto them, believe. Now this word believe here in this case is more than just, do you believe that I am truly the Son of David? This word believe means, in this context, means, do you believe that I am the Savior? Do you believe that I am the Messiah? Do you believe that I can give you? Have you been persuaded that I alone can give you eternal life? And not only can I heal you physically with your eyesight, but I can also give you eternal life. That's what this word believe means here in the text. Believe ye that I am able to do this. Not only give you physical sight, but to awaken you spiritually so that you may have spiritual sight as well. And they said unto him, yea, Lord. It says, then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were immediately opened. And the word immediately is not there, but that's what it was opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. The first person that they got to physically see was their Savior. The first person that they were able to physically to see was their healer. The first person that they were able to see was the person that could change them spiritually and physically, and did change them according to their faith. Changed both of them. Believe ye that I am able to do this. Now he told them, go and tell no one what's happened to you. But boy, they couldn't keep it in. They disobeyed. They couldn't keep it in. They went and told everybody what this man had done for them, according to your faith. These two blind men. Well, you know, one of the things that we find is that in Scripture, the Scriptures teach us about lost men. These men got their eyesight. And I truly believe they got their eyesight spiritually and physically. But you know, a lost man, if he is going to have the right faith, he has to look in Jesus with this same type of belief. I believe that you can open my spiritual eyes. I believe that you can open my heart. I believe that you can open my eyes to see who you are. But it also will be saved when he calls upon Christ through faith. And by the way, God gave you the faith to believe. Salvation can only come through faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, that's what it says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, but not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Acts 4 and 12 tells us, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven whereby men, among men, whereby we must be saved. A lost man has to have faith that Jesus is the only one who can save you. A lost man has to understand. And when we talk about a lost man, we're talking about a man, woman, boy, and girl. You have to come to Christ in faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. You have to exercise the faith. Faith in Christ. Once you've trusted in Christ to save you, your journey has only begun in Christ. There's a lot of people that believe once I get saved, I'm done. I don't have to do anymore. I want to tell you, my friends, that is a false nomer. That is a false narrative. If all you do is get saved and you do nothing, that is the worst thing that could ever happen to you if you got saved and did nothing for the Lord and through the Lord because of salvation. Faith in Christ, yes, does make you a child. The Scripture says it also makes us an heir of God. But again, it's only the beginning of our journey in faith. It's only the beginning. We are called by Christ to exercise our faith in Him. Faith is not to be a noun. Faith is to be an action word, a verb, if you will. Faith is like the statement I'll show you as an example of love. If I only told my wife that I loved her, but I did nothing to demonstrate my love for her, then I will tell you, I'm using love as just a noun. Love needs action. Love requires action. Otherwise, my words are nothing more than words. The Lord tells us, if you love me, keep my commandments. It doesn't mean that we just keep them in our mind. It means I do my commandments. That's what the Lord was saying. If you truly love me, do my commandments. And in fact, the Lord tells us in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and we're talking here about the progression from the one that was lost and now I see, to the one that is saved and not only sees but has now taken the faith that God has given, not only to believe that Jesus is Christ, but it says, I want to live a life for you, and I have faith that your word is true. You have told me to trust in me in all ways. Trust in all my ways. Trust because why? My ways, God says, are higher than your ways. He says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Trust in me. It will be precious unto you. Trust in me. I will give you guidance. I will never lead you in a path that will harm you. I will always give you grace to walk in the path. I will give you everything that is needed to walk in the path that I have set for you, but have faith that you will be able to walk without falling, without stumbling. The only reason we fall and stumble is because we take our eyes off the Lord. We go on our own path. You know, sometimes we criticize Peter. We criticize Peter because when he asked the Lord, can I step into this water and come to you? We criticize him because it says that he looked at his situation and his environment and he started to sink. Peter was the only one who had faith to get out of the boat. Peter was something. Peter was the only person that had the faith that if I get out, I can walk on this water with my Lord. Think about that faith. Got out of the water. Jesus, can I come to you? Get out, Peter, and come to me. And you know what? He started walking on the water. Started walking on the water. Yes, we know he started to sink, and the Lord pulled him out. Praise God, he pulls us out of our sinking situations. But his faith was, he was willing to get out of the boat and get on the water. You see, you and I sometimes have to move out of our comfort zone, but we will only do that if our faith is strong in the Lord. These blind men had faith that this man standing before them could heal them because they believed that he was the Son of David. That's how they addressed him. I believe that you're the Son of David. I believe that you're the promised Messiah. I believe that you're the promised Savior. And through their faith, they got out. And not only did they exercise their faith to be healed, a child of God, once they've been healed spiritually, they can then walk in the Lord and exercise that faith by keeping the Lord's commandments. And one of those things that Jesus also said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and He said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And again, Jesus said in Matthew 4 and 19, and He saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Every day, I've got to be willing to get up, exercise my faith in the Lord and follow Him. But you know, we're only going to do it according to our faith. We're only going to follow, we'll follow Jesus as far as our faith takes us. We may see the obstacles and stop. The Lord says He'll tell us either climb over it, go through it, or go around it. But according to our faith, He will take us to where He wants us to be. Faith in Christ both has to come with spiritual and physical. You know, sometimes we get physical issues that come into our bodies. for no reason. And we start asking, well, why did God do that to me? Why did God do that to me? Paul, the apostle, he had something wrong with his eye. I believe something with his eyesight. I truly believe that was part of his thorn in the flesh. Now, you could contend there's two things that could have happened because he says, the devil keeps using against me. You know, one of the greatest things that I think that Paul also had, Paul had a sense of guilt that he had to walk with. Paul had killed Christians. Paul had thrown them in jail. Satan, I think, sometimes brought that up. Now, you can say it was his eyesight. That's fine, because he had trouble with his eyesight. We know that from his writings. But guilt can also be another thorn. And he asked the Lord, he says, will you get rid of this thorn in my flesh? And the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul had to step back and say, you know what? Now I thank God for my infirmities. Because when I am weak, He is strong. When I am understanding in my weakness, I can put all my faith in Him. He is going to deliver me. He will give me all the grace that I've needed. You know, a lot of times we ask, why me? Why in the world did I get this disease? I don't care if it's cancer. I don't care what it is. Heart disease. I don't care what it is. Why did God allow this to happen? If you're a child of God, you've got to understand something. Your body is broken down to start with. Sin is the cause of cancer. Sin is the cause of heart disease. Sin is the cause of all of this. And you say, well, what's sin? What did I do? Adam is the one that brought the sin upon the world. Go all the way back into the garden. Because of our sin, meaning Adam's sin, we have sin. And sin, the outgrowth of that sin, we get heart disease, we get blood disease, we get diabetes, we get cancer, we get tumors, we get eyesight that's failing. We get all of these things. It goes all the way back to the garden. Sin. But as God told Saul, or Paul, if you will, He said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient to carry you through and to go forth with whatever you have. I want to tell you right now, I don't care what you've got. One disease you can't get away from is you're going to die physically. It's appointed that a man wants to die. We all are going to suffer death. But my faith in the Lord says He'll carry me through that. And you know what death is for a saved individual? It's as if you just went to sleep. Absent from this body and present with the Lord. But you see, you don't have that assurance until you know Jesus. But once you know Jesus and understand how He works in our life, and He says, do my commandments. He said, what are His commandments? What is faith? He tells us that after we've been saved, we need to go forward with the next point in our journey in life. We submit to baptism. We submit to uniting with the church. We submit to serving the Lord through a local New Testament assembly. We submit to going out into the world and sharing the gospel. We submit our lives unto Him so that He can work through us. But you see, at the end of the day, when we come before Him, it's going to be said, according to your faith. According to your faith. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Is He going to say, because of your faith, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many. Or is He going to say, according to your faith, is that you will rule and reign over nothing? Thou slothful servant. You see, whether or not He says, thou good and faithful servant, or thou slothful servant, is going to be according to your faith. The question I leave with all of us this morning, first of all, have you placed your faith and trust in Jesus to save you? If you haven't, that is your starting place. We all start at the same place. I don't care how young or old. We all start at the same place. You have faith in Jesus to save you. You asked Him to save you. You trust that He will save you. And as a result, He will save you. But then we start our journey. Where are you in your faith? You see, I can't answer that question for you. Neither can you answer it for me. I have work to do in this area as well, according to my faith. I'm sure that you have work. And you say, well, where do we start? In His Word? You know, one of the things that's great about the Bible, one of the things that's great, and I want you to remember this, the Bible has examples for us to look at of people that according to their faith were successful in the Lord. But the Bible also has examples of people that according to their faith, they were not successful in the Lord. It shows both. Choose the right examples. Apply it to your own life. Pray about it. Apply the Word of God. And according to your faith, you can walk properly before the Lord. Let us stand as our musicians come for a hymn of invitation. Maybe the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning, and now it's time for us to respond. Father in heaven, as we come to the close of this study, we just thank You so much for what Your Word has taught us, not only by example, but Lord, of Your love for us. But You asked one thing of us, do you believe? Do you believe that I am able to not only give you sight, but I'm able to carry you all the way through your journey in life? Whatever the need of the hour is, Lord, may we respond. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen.